This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. One of the largest chemical and pharmaceutical companies in the world is proposing a mega merger with one of the largest GMO and pesticide corporations. Bayer's offer to buy Monsanto for a whopping $66 billion is creating waves of panic globally because the resulting behemoth would result in a monopoly of historic proportions. In the words of the watchdog group Some of Us, quote, almost everything you eat could be controlled by a single mega corporation if Bayer gets its way and buys Monsanto. The proposed merger still has to convince U.S. regulators that it would not violate antitrust laws. My guest is Lisa Lindsley. She is the capital markets advisor for Some of Us, which is an international corporate watchdog group. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So on their own, both Bayer and Monsanto are problematic corporations for, you know, the way in which they already control huge market shares. Monsanto in particular has a terrible reputation for its promotion of genetically modified foods, but also specifically its promotion of pesticides, which impacts human health, the health of bees, etc. What would this, I mean, just the prospect that Monsanto together with Bayer could become so huge is kind of scary, but they're not both the same kinds of companies, right? As I said, Bayer is chemical, pharmaceutical, Monsanto is seed, GMO pesticides. Why are they merging? Why are these two companies merging?
Sonali, it's interesting that you say that. I think that at least here in the United States, there's an impression that Bayer produces friendly products like baby aspirin. But actually, Bayer is very big into chemicals, crop chemicals, and into genetically modified seeds and traits, which get patented. And in fact, Bayer has been developing an alternative to Roundup, which is the carcinogenic herbicide that Monsanto sells. But if the two companies merge, there will be no incentive for Bayer to do any further innovation or develop alternatives to Roundup. Now, both companies sell products that are harmful to pollinators, bees and butterflies, and our food supply. Bayer sells what are called neonicotinoids that do harm the bees. Our members funded a study that we had paid for and was done by U.S. antitrust experts, lawyers who used to work for the Department of Justice. And they found that this would be an illegal merger. It would be an illegal concentration of corporate control in the hands of one company. I mean, seeds and herbicides are two of the foundations of our entire food supply, in addition to farmers and land and water. And to have all of that controlled by one company, it's just unacceptable.
So essentially, these are companies that already control big, big chunks of the food market, but in general also crops. You know, we're talking about, for example, soy, wheat, cotton, which don't directly feed human beings. They have other uses as well. How do farmers fare under such a merger?
So our study found that with farmers, they would be forced more and more, as they have been in the past, into paying more for genetic traits that they may or may not want, but there will be fewer choices for them. There will be less competition to supply seeds and herbicides to them. And it's almost a fact that prices for farmers will go up, and those prices, of course, will be passed on to consumers. So fewer choices, less innovation, and higher prices.
So already farmers, at least conventional farmers, are kind of stuck with using or having very few choices in terms of where they buy their seeds, where they buy their pesticides. With this merger, it would be even less. Now, I understand, of course, because of the flood of certain commodity crops in the market, farmers are struggling simply to make a profit. Many are ending up having to sell their commodity crops at a loss. So already this is what's happening. If this merger were to go through and Bayer, Monsanto, or whatever it results in, were to increase their monopoly prices on farmers, that would put farmers in an even worse position, wouldn't it?
That's correct. Farmers right now don't have very much bargaining power, and farmers would be in a worse position. And in fact, Monsanto's sales have been down this year because of the impacts of crop prices on farmers. And farmers some farmers have been switching to generics to the extent that they can because of the economics of farming today.
I understand that the two companies had sort of done a bunch of research, as any two companies would before a merger, and sort of said, okay, here are some small places where the things that we produce overlap, and we would sell off these parts of our market share in order to appease regulators. Is that something, I mean, would it be easy enough for these two companies to merge and to satisfy U.S. regulators, or do you think they have an uphill battle?
Well, the market, there was a poll of shareholders yesterday, of investors, and it came out 50-50 in terms of, people betting that the merger will go through or that it will be stopped by regulators. What's certain is that it's really important for everyone who eats food, all of us, to raise our voices and express our concern to our members of Congress. The Judiciary Committee of the U.S. Senate is about to have hearings on Tuesday regarding the growing monopolies in the seed and agrochemical sectors. Because if we're quiet, corporate lobbyists have a lot more resources than you and I do. And so the money is really on the side of the companies and their trade associations. So we really need to make our views felt. The European Commission has responded to our letter and our study saying that they will take our considerations into account, but it's really important that everyone continue to express concern about this. We don't think that it would be easy to spin off a few business lines and for this merger to go forward. This merger is illegal. In fact, Monsanto acquired a company previously from Bayer, and it pledged Monsanto acquired a company that it then spun off to Bayer in order to comply with antitrust regulations. So this company, this business line coming back into the joined company violates an order of the Justice Department.
Now, the paper that you mentioned, the white paper, has, I understand, been signed by over 500,000 people. And this, if it were to go through, this merger essentially would also be the largest foreign takeover of a U.S. company. Monsanto is a U.S.-based company. Bayer is a German company. So both the EU and the U.S. have to be involved. So that's two sets of regulators coming into play. What sort of battles does Bayer Monsanto face here in the U.S.? The U.S. has been sort of notoriously lenient on big companies merging and notoriously lenient on allowing antitrust laws and precedents to be violated.
That's correct. I think that the fact that, there have been six companies in this space and now Dow and DuPont are merging, and Syngenta, which is a Swiss company, is being acquired by ChemChina. So if all of these mergers go through, the market will go from six companies to three companies.
Wow.
And so I think that, a lot of attention is focused on this sector, and hopefully that will provide additional pressure to regulatory authorities to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Now, companies usually argue that they will gain greater efficiency by merging. But that efficiency has to be balanced with choice and impacts on research and development and innovation and prices and the effects on the consumer. So our study really shows that net-net is a really bad deal in the case of Bayer and Monsanto.
Right. Food prices could very well go up in the future. If you have fewer and fewer companies controlling the global food market, what's right to stop them from simply saying, hey, everyone's got to eat and we can just increase our profits by increasing prices? And so let's talk about the dangers, not just the sort of direct dangers that we might imagine from a few companies controlling so much of our food supply, but also the indirect ones, bee diet. Off, less and less access to organic and non-GMO foods. Can you reflect on those two specifics?
Sure. I mean, yes, neonicotinoids, which are produced by Bayer, and glyphosate, which is the key ingredient in Roundup, is also bad for the bees and for the butterflies. And there, as I said before, there won't be any incentive for the companies to innovate and develop alternatives to glyphosate. In fact, I mean, for me personally, the most troubling aspect of the genetic engineering that Monsanto does is that it's genetically engineered crops so that farmers can spray Roundup glyphosate, which is a known carcinogenic, directly on their crops. So on the corn that we eat or that goes into animal feed, on the soybeans, on everything that they grow. So more and more glyphosate is getting into our food supply, and there won't be any incentive to go away from that. I think that additionally, there will be fewer and fewer independent seed companies that may develop, if they're to remain in business, may develop additional traits that would be really helpful. So that won't be around. Another thing is that you may be aware that the state of Vermont voted to label genetically modify organisms in foods, and Monsanto sued them. So the fact that I think it's just dangerous for democracy to have a company that's so litigious that even it overturns the will of voters in a particular area to have to get more information about their food.
Right. Monsanto essentially managed to get Congress to pass a terrible law that would void not only Vermont's GMO labeling law, but any future GMO labeling law in any right. state. So very, very influential and powerful company. What about the impacts to climate change? When you have seed companies like Monsanto controlling so much of our seed supply, they're promoting monocultures, which deplete soil. Soil is a huge sink of carbon. In fact, one of the best ways in which we can actually stave off climate disaster is by regenerating soil. And you can't do that when you're, you know, having monocultures spread across arable land the world over. Doesn't this merger also have a potential impact on climate change?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the more that our food supply is controlled by single corporations whose only motive is profit and generating more profit to have higher CEO pay, for example, then the externalities are not factored in. The social cost of monocultures of climate change aren't factored into their business decisions.
Can the world do without not just a Bayer-Monsanto merger, but a Bayer and Monsanto altogether? And I'm asking you this, Lisa, because we often find ourselves defensive, being defensive against these very aggressive positions taken by these corporations that have the money and power to just keep moving ahead in the interest of profits over people. But if we stop and think about it, they already control so much of the global food supply that tomorrow, if these companies were to disappear, it would throw the food supply into disarray. And yet there are some efforts and many growing efforts around the world for people to kind of disentangle, farmers to disentangle themselves from the monopolies that these companies are pushing on us. I suppose a sort of gradual divestment, global divestment from these companies would be preferable. But, you know, shouldn't we imagine a world without Monsanto and Bayer?
I mean, you know, I think that the parallel with our financial system is very apt, that these companies are too big to fail, right? They're too big to fail, too big to jail, that they have so much influence over policymakers. They have so many financial resources. I don't know about the case of Bayer, but Monsanto is extremely litigious. I've been trying to talk to farmers about this merger, and they're terrified because Monsanto has such a track record of suing farmers. I do think that, we would be better off. I think it's a real uphill battle, though. I mean, you're correct that we are often in a defensive position. And I mean, my organization, some of us, we've been trying to hold both Bayer. We were trying to hold both Bayer and Monsanto accountable for glyphosate on the side of Monsanto, and for the neonicotinoids and the bees on the side of Bayer, way before this merger started being negotiated. So we were concerned about these two companies beforehand, and now we're even more alarmed.
Right. So where can people find out more? On the, at the very least, you recommend that they sign the petition that 500,000 people have already signed? And then are there other things they could do, particularly reaching out to U.S. regulators?
Sure. Yeah. They can go to mergerfromhell.com and there they can sign our petition and they can download the white paper. It will be very helpful this week, actually, up until Tuesday, if people would call their senators. There are 20 senators on the U.S. Senate Committee on the Judiciary, and they're having hearings on Tuesday. So people hearing if those senators hear from their constituents that they're concerned about this, that will be very helpful to putting more pressure on the regulators and the Department of Justice who have to take a look at this merger.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Again, it's mergerfromhell.com is that website she mentioned. Good luck to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Lisa Lindsley is the capital markets advisor for Some of Us, an international corporate watchdog group. By the way, that's SUM, Some of Us. And you can also find their website on our site later today, which is at risingupwithsonali.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also subscribe, by the way, to our podcast on iTunes.